speakers.
Good. Thank you very much. So the title of my presentation is The Potential for Pasture Renewal with Full Inversion Tillage to Increase Soil Carbon Storage in New Zealand. And I'd like to start by just acknowledging my co-authors, Aaron Lawrence-Smith, Dennis Curtin, and Frank Kelleher. Now, a little bit of background for you. As we know, global atmospheric CO2 and other greenhouse gases are increasing at a very rapid rate. And there has been a number of people have suggested that sequestration of carbon in soil organic matter may be one of the more promising greenhouse gas mitigation options for agriculture. As of 2013 in New Zealand, our methane and nitrous oxide emissions had increased by 7 and 23% respectively compared to 1990 levels. So this is a fairly substantial increase and an issue for us, and a reason why we're very focused on identifying mitigation practices from agriculture. Also, agriculture makes up a large proportion of our net greenhouse gas emissions. So these increases in emissions in CO2 equivalents could be offset by an increase in soil carbon stocks of approximately 1 million tons per annum, or about 0.1% across New Zealand's agricultural land. So a little bit of background, and just bear with me here. To start with, our dominant land uses in New Zealand are pastoral agriculture, and of that pastoral land, a high proportion of it is high production pastures, improved pastures. And we know that our long-term pastures, high production pastures, have the highest carbon stocks above any of our land uses, at least as high as our forest systems, and sometimes higher. Many of the soils, based on recent studies that we've done, these pastoral soils are indeed undersaturated in carbon, our best estimate, and especially the subsurface soils. That's below the top 15 centimeters. So what are some possible benefits of full inversion tillage? Now, I know this is really going against conventional wisdom, but bear with me. The idea with full inversion tillage is that you could effectively increase the depth of soil carbon enrichment. And that would be by burying carbon-rich topsoil close to undersaturated mineral soils that may help to stabilize the carbon and slow carbon decomposition in the right soil environments. Okay, so this is full inversion, burying that carbon-rich topsoil. Also, we're bringing up low-carbon subsoil to the surface, which we would expect to have a low or a high saturation deficit and therefore greater potential to stabilize carbon. And therefore, we would be exposing that undersaturated soil to new carbon inputs from new pasture. So where would we apply this? Well, pasture renewal is recommended to farmers in New Zealand now on a regular basis. And the recommendation is about 10% of the land area on a farm would be renewed on an annual basis. So about over a 10-year period, you would expect the whole of the farm to be renewed. Now, this is obviously on flat and rolling land, not on hill country and high country pasture systems. And the reason for renewal, of course, is to renew the vigor of the pasture. And indeed, there's good evidence to suggest that you can get higher levels of dry matter production under these improved pastures compared to the what we often refer to as run-out pastures. So applying full inversion tillage during pasture renewal might provide a mechanism as a one-off event to bury carbon and increase the depth of topsoil effectively over time. And again, we're applying it to, could be applied to relatively large land areas. So it would provide a point in our farming systems where we might be able to make a significant impact on carbon storage and stabilization. Current practices around pasture renewal are either very shallow cultivation or most often direct drilling, so there's no disturbance of the topsoil. So I put this slide in just to emphasize the very strong vertical stratification of carbon that we typically get in our soils. This is just an example of one long-term pasture which had been undisturbed for 60 years. But this is very typical of our soils in New Zealand. And in fact, you often see that there's a fairly strong break at about 20 to 25 centimeters depth based on long-term studies. So a very strong vertical stratification. So if we take that further into sort of a theoretical example, on the left-hand side, you can see the pre-inversion condition, as I just showed you. And on average, our pastures in the top 30 centimeters would have about 100 tons of carbon in that top 30 centimeters. And about 60% of that is in the top 15 centimeters, 40% in 15 to 30. So if we fully invert that soil now, we've brought that undersaturated soil up to the surface, and we buried that carbon-rich topsoil. And of course, then that provides an opportunity through new pasture production to increase carbon inputs to that undersaturated surface, new surface soil now. And so a key question there is, how rapidly can we increase carbon storage or stabilization in that new surface? And what are the rates of decomposition of the buried carbon? So we undertook a fairly simple modeling exercise. And in this particular example, I'll show you. So this is the new surface soil showing a rate of carbon accumulation over time. And this is the new subsurface soil, which is buried carbon decaying over time, and the total. So if we focus first on the new topsoil, which was the buried subsoil, the assumptions that we made is that the low carbon stocks in that the original subsoil are due primarily to low carbon inputs. We assumed a 20-year time frame to reach steady state conditions, and that's based on IPCC guidelines. 20 years may indeed not be long enough, but that's the assumption we've made. We assumed that the maximum carbon stock that could be achieved in this new surface would be equivalent to 100% of the pre-inversion carbon stocks. Okay? And we modeled a number of different scenarios. We modeled 100% accumulation efficiency, which is 100% of that pre-inversion carbon stock, and also 80% and 60% over this 20-year time frame. Right? And we used both a linear and an asymptotic sort of accumulation rates. Right, so now let's focus on this new subsurface soil, which is the buried topsoil. So in this case, the assumptions we made is that the new pasture will maintain carbon input sufficient to maintain the pre-inversion carbon stocks at a minimum. We used a simple two-pool model, which accounts for particulate organic matter and stable carbon. And we simulated the decline. And these are the decay rates that we used on the basis of data that we had from a long-term field trial, which we had a plant-free fallow treatment. So we could separate the effects of the original organic matter and its decay over time from plant inputs. So now let's look at some results from our modeling exercise in total. So now, in this case, the scenario I'm showing you is a 30-year time frame to reach 100% pasture renewal. So, as I said, it takes 10 years to renew the entire farm, and 20 years is assumed to reach the new steady state. So, the whole over 30-year time frame, you reach steady state conditions over the whole entire farm. We assumed in this case an 80% soil carbon accumulation efficiency, which is 80% of the maximum of the original surface soil. And now what we've done is show the net increase in carbon stocks here for different soil orders. And unfortunately, these are New Zealand soil orders, but you'll recognize the alphanic soils, volcanic soils, obviously very important in our systems, and a range of other different soils, from fairly sandy soils to higher clay content soils. So these are the sort of increases that we got in tons of carbon per hectare and percent increases that we got. 100% accumulation efficiency, we achieved somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 16% increases over that 30-year time frame. At 60% accumulation efficiency, the increases were not significantly different from the original values. So now let's scale that up a bit and look at the impacts across the whole of New Zealand. So these are now the land areas, and again, what we've assumed here is a 10% farmer adoption rate, so it's only 10% of the farmers are adopting the practice. We've assumed an 80% accumulation efficiency and 10% pasture renewal rate. And if you sum up the totals based on the land areas, we get to about 3 megatons of carbon on the basis of 80% accumulation efficiency and 10% adoption. If you take that up to 100% accumulation efficiency and 20% adoption, that number increases to 10 megatons of carbon. Now, these are fairly significant increases in carbon for our land areas. And as a reminder, the increase in New Zealand's greenhouse gas emissions could be offset by an increase in soil carbon stocks of about 1 million tons per annum. So what is the evidence that this will work? And this is a theoretical example. Well, there is no direct evidence that we can find for applying full inversion tillage under pasture renewal with a focus on carbon stocks. But we have seen in New Zealand evidence that there are rapid rates of soil organic carbon accumulation when soils start from a low carbon content. And some of those examples have come from flipped soils on the west coast of the South Island, where the soils are actually being flipped by diggers down to a meter deep and bringing up a lot of raw mineral material. And those soils will accumulate carbon at very high rates, up to about 3.5 tons of carbon per hectare per year. Also, erosion slip scars. We've seen very high rates of carbon accumulation on those. So in these cases, the topsoil is slipping down the slope, often burying topsoil organic matter. But also, we've now got a new raw surface, and those soils will accumulate carbon at very high rates. Secondly, single full inversion tillage may not result in significant carbon losses from buried topsoil. And in this case, some work by Louis Schiffer using eddy covariance methods has shown that during regrassing, we see a fairly rapid loss of carbon when the soil is cultivated, but that those losses can be regained within 1 year under new pastures. And finally, burying soil organic matter in deeper soil layers with full inversion tillage may help to stabilize carbon. Some work has suggested that there's tillage and the mixing of soil may help to increase the formation of organomineral complexes. And studies in Germany have actually shown that deepening the plowing depth of cropping systems can actually result in increases in soil carbon. So other considerations, well, the estimates are obviously constrained by our poor understanding of the mechanisms of carbon stabilization. Our estimates may be conservative for various reasons, because we haven't properly accounted for organomineral complex formation. The rates of that are unknown largely. We haven't made allowances for the less favorable conditions that may occur in relation to decomposition of buried carbon. And the model does not include an inert carbon pool, so I may overestimate the rate of carbon loss after burial. But the estimates also may be optimistic. We've assumed that pasture performance is not adversely affected by full inversion tillage, and we know that there would have to be significant fertilizer inputs in order to achieve that. So that may not be a proper assumption. And there may be priming effects as well. Although our estimates suggest that those would be fairly short-term, short-lived, and probably not very substantial. But, again, it needs to be tested. Other possible adverse effects include decomposition of buried soil organic matter may lead to increased nitrate leaching and also N2O emissions from N fertilizer inputs and an increased risk of pea runoff, etc. So our conclusions then, again, no direct evidence. Based on a critical analysis of the published literature and our model projections, it looks like this could have some promise, but we need experimental evidence. Soil inversion during pasture renewal may be a significant opportunity for us, and it's something that we're proposing to have a look at. Again, we've talked about the sort of megatons of carbon that we could potentially store, and these would be would go some way to offsetting our increased emissions. But obviously further research is needed to both verify the carbon gains, if indeed there are gains, and assess possible adverse impacts. That's all for me.
Thank you, Dr. One question?
Absolutely. And so, first of all, to answer the first part of the question, that's quite a typical pattern that we see in our long-term pasture soils, but the depth of that topsoil does vary somewhat depending on the soils and the systems. But generally, the average is around about 23 centimeters is that sort of break between the A horizon and the B. And there's a fairly strong differential between the carbon content in those two horizons. And that particular example, you often see effects of historic cultivation. So this might have been 100 years ago.